Today we're in this series we're in talking about beginnings. And I know it's January 19th, so the beginning has begun. right about now is when we decide if we're going to make hold to some of our resolutions or decide whether or not we're just going to make new ones in 2026, you know. So, Lord, today we give you this day. We give you this space, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts and our lives today, Lord. And so, Jesus, I just ask you today for a fresh surrender to your heart, to your will, to your spirit, Lord. And so today, Lord, we ask you to come speak to us. Move on our hearts, Lord. Empower us by your spirit, Jesus. We honor you and we love you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, how many of you all know it's a new year? And how many of you have heard this phrase before? New year, new me, right? And that's when everybody decides to start a new diet, start a new financial plan, start to set goals for the year. And if you're like me, you tend to be a little bit over-ambitious on the front end, and then right about now, you kind of start negotiating. Well, maybe I don't need to do all this stuff all at one time. Maybe we can just, you know. We end up kind of like when February rolls around, we're like, okay, well, let's be realistic about this. Sometimes we say, I used to be like this before. I used to go in real big fluctuations with my weight sometimes, and so I would go through seasons where I would get in shape, and then there'd be seasons where I'd get out of shape, and then I'd get in shape and out of shape. And I found out that it's easier to just try and stay in shape so that you don't have to get out of shape. And same thing when you're walking with the Lord, it's easier to walk with him when you can walk with him continuously rather than try and go for this mountaintop valley, desert, promised land, desert scenario, you know. And we set these goals and these things to try and achieve. And a lot of the practical things are very practical, yet when it comes to spiritual things, we try and treat spiritual things in the beginning of the year sometimes like they're practical things, you know? Like, I'm going to get in the Word more this year. I'm going to pray more this year. I'm going to seek the Lord more than I ever have before. And by the time we know it, we end up treating the Lord just like we're treating Planet Fitness or our diet plan or whatever. And can I submit to you today that he's way bigger and way more important than any of those other practical pursuits. So however those are important, our main goal and our main priority should be him and him alone. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll treat our relationship with the Lord same as a list of other things. But in reality, when we put him first, all those other things and all those goals fall into place because our trust in is his ability, not our own. And so the beginning of the year, the best thing you can do for your health, the best thing you can do for your finances, the best thing you can do for your relationship is put him at the very forefront of your life and at your heart and everything. From that place of being submitted to the Lord and surrender to Jesus flows through that. And then all of a sudden, when I'm walking with Jesus, my relationships get a lot better. You know, when I'm walking with Jesus and I'm obedient to him, my finances just it's not because of my behavior at all, but it's because when I'm close to him, when I'm walking with him, his ways are better than my ways. His thoughts are better than my thoughts as far as the heavens are from the earth. So his ways are different. You know, and so like I can't possibly get my own attitude under control sometimes, but he can. You know what I mean? And so it's not that I'm trying to get close to him so that I can be blessed, but it's the fact that I am close to him, I am blessed. Does that make sense? I'm not seeking the things that he provides alone, but when I am close to him, It's like Psalm, I believe it's 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. There are benefits to walking with him. And when we put him first, all those things follow. Like Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Amen. All those things. When we seek him and put him first. Amen. I'm believing this year that this is going to be the year when we put our faith, our hope, our trust in Jesus, in him, and him alone. And all the other things can just fall into place. Fall into place, you know. When I prioritize him in my finances, I may have less on paper, but the Lord always makes up for it in other ways. I've been walking in a season recently where I've had to trust the Lord more than I ever have before with my finances. And I've had things happen over the past, I'd say about 6 months where refunds came in the mail that I didn't think I was going to get. You know, there's one time when I got hit with there was a bill that I had to pay. I had to pay for some taxes, and I got a refund from my health insurance company saying I paid too much last year for health insurance. So here's a refund, and the refund happened to be the same exact amount as it was to pay another thing that I was freaking out about. And that's never happened to me before, and it probably will never happen since. But the Lord knew exactly what I needed when I needed it. And so when I was obedient to him in my finances, all of a sudden a window of heaven opens up and he begins to take care of us. And seeking him first. You see, when we seek God first, it's not a way to start our year, but it's the way to start our year. As believers, we are called to live our lives differently than the world. We don't need self-help books. We need God's help, right? Amen. We don't need more motivation. We have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't need methods of behavior modification, but we need a deep heart transformation that changes us from the inside out. And that can only happen when Jesus is at the center of our lives. That can only happen. I spend a lot of time in reading leadership books and things from watching different podcasts about health and nutrition and all those things. But y'all, but sometimes I like to when I get upset or I'm getting my emotions or my feelings a little bit. Sometimes I just need to go to Zaxby's, you know, or I'd eat some ice cream, maybe like some Pillsbury cookies or something and bake them. But like sometimes I like to get in my, I get in my feelings and I just eat, you know, and it's not because I'm hungry. It's just because I just feel like that's what I need in that moment, you know. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but it might just be me, but sometimes when I get in those moments, you know, it's no self-help book can help me. No five-step plan or program or anything like that. But I just need the Lord to intervene and say, hey, let me satisfy you in that moment. Put the cookies down for a second. And I know it sounds silly. It really does. But there's things that all of us do to try and distract ourselves from what's really going on and try and mask. And sit. But the Lord doesn't want us to cover anything up. He doesn't want us to try and put more structure or more, discipline. Discipline is a good word. But when you can discipline yourself out of the kingdom of God, it becomes just a religious facade and something that, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the Lord wants to take the religiosity out of us and put his spirit on the inside of us so he can speak to us and say, hey, why don't you come talk with me? Spend some time in my presence. Let me fix what you've got going on. Because all that worrying is not going to do you any good. When I think about New Year's resolutions and all those kind of things that people try and do, and it reminds me of the story of the parable in the Bible where Jesus says, when you hear my words and you put them into practice, you'll be like a man who built his house on a solid foundation, on a rock. And those who hear my words and don't put them into practice, it's like you're building your house on sand. And I feel like it when at the beginning of the year, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, when we begin to try and build our lives and build our strategies and build our systems and all that stuff without the wisdom of the Word of God, without the input of the Holy Spirit, we're building our house on sand. No matter how good our intentions, no matter how good the principles are, no matter how good the strategies are, and how well it worked for 5,000 other people, or how good it worked for this dude on Instagram who looks like he really got his life together. Despite all that, if we don't include Jesus at the center of the foundation, then it is a house that's built on sand. See, we've got to build our house on the rock that is Jesus Christ and submit to his word. Like in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You hear that? He said two things: who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you know there's a lot of people who just hear the word but don't put it into practice, yeah, right? A lot of people like to go to church and hear the word and check that box and say, I went to church, I'm good. Then they carry on their lives unaffected by the word of God. And then there's some people who try and practice the word, right, without hearing from the Lord. Reminds you of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the guys who tried to keep up with the law of the Lord without the following the heart behind the law. You know, Jesus said they were whitewashed tombs. He said they were a dirty cup. They're trying to wash a dirty cup, but on just the outside. There was just a facade. It was just a, and I wrote this down. I said, hearing and practicing the word demands a submission to the word. Hearing the word and not practicing it is just foolish. James said it like this. He said, he who hears the word and doesn't do what the word says is like a man who looks at a mirror and leaves and forgets exactly what he looked like as soon as he left. Hearing the word and not practicing it is foolish. Practicing the word and not hearing the Lord is just religious activity. Have you ever had one of those conversations with somebody who knows the word, but they don't know how to put it into practice? You say, hey, man, how you doing today? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. Now, you ain't acting like it. Yeah, I know the Lord's going to take care of me. And they can quote scripture, and they can tell you all the right churchy things to say. But at the end of the day, they can't submit their heart to the lordship of the authority of the Word of God. And so there's Christians running around right now who can quote it but can't live it, yeah. who don't let the power of the two-edged sword of the Word of God cut into them and change them and shape them. My heart for us today is that we would submit to the Word of God, that we would learn how to hear the Word and put it into practice. Lord, I hear you. I hear you. When you're at home and you're doing your devotions and you're reading and the Lord highlights something to you, he says, that's for you this morning. Yeah. And you can take it and lay hold of it. And you can say, Lord, I'm gonna hold on to this because, Lord, this is a promise that you gave me. Or maybe if y'all are like me, the Lord likes to correct you sometimes. And sometimes when you're reading something, you're like, oh, man. My sister needs to hear that. You know? Let me go show my wife this verse, but nah, I know better than that. But sometimes the Lord will correct us, right? So I'll be in the Word. He's like, you know what? That's for you this morning. Because even as a pastor, as someone who's been in ministry for a long time, I can kind of get caught up in trying to read the Word for the sake of a sermon, you know? And I found that the best sermons that I've written and the most effective things that I've produced in ministry have been things where the Lord's preached it to me first, yeah, before I've ever preached it to anybody else or shared it with anybody else. Yeah. And so I can kind of, even digging into this and getting into this this message today, it's like, man, Lord, I need a fresh submission to your word. Yeah. I need to be submitted to your word. I need to put your word into practice. Yeah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, it says, the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but there are going to be storms and streams and wind that blows against our house. Jesus said, take heart. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Yeah. And I don't know what this next few years is going to hold for our country, our nation, our city, our communities. But I do know if our foundation is built on Christ, we will stand the test of time. We will stand every storm. We will stand every weapon that tries to that's been formed against us won't be able to prosper because we have a solid foundation. And I desire for us to all have this year, at the beginning of this year, a solid foundation that we can stand on. Amen. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. I did a sabbatical this summer. I say sabbatical, but it was just a lonely vacation because it was kind of just, I just went by myself, but down there in Charleston at Folly Beach, and they had I didn't even know this was possible, but they had been running these long tubes and pumping sand from the bottom of the ocean, like a few hundred yards off the beach, and they called it beach renourishment, where they put sand back on the beach. And because it was kind of getting washed out and stuff like that. And they did it all along the beach. And it was kind of inconvenient because, like, I'm trying to, like, just go to the beach and stuff. And they got, like, a bulldozer over here pushing sand around. And I was like, this is relaxing, you know, in the middle of a construction site. But I went down there this summer, and I saw they were moving all the sand around. They put sand back, probably like another, I don't know, 50, 60 yards of just like sand. And my wife and I went back down there for Christmas for a couple days, and it looks like nothing happened. all that work they did all summer long, driving bulldozers up and down the beach and just like pushing sand around. And a couple storms later, all that sand is back where they got it from, in the ocean. And I was like, man, they spent all that money and all that time, inconvenience and people and all that stuff, just to have the sand go back right where it started. And it just kind of spoke to me. I was like, man, if we try to build a house on that, if we tried and put any kind of solid structure on that, it would be washed away so quick. And I feel like that's why a lot of people, even a lot of believers, like I said earlier, they start off the year with good intentions, with trying to be disciplined and trying to get in the Word more and pray more. And I fully believe in a Bible reading plan. I fully believe in setting aside a time aside to spend with the Lord. Everybody schedules a date night, right? With your spouse, with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you make time for the things that are important to you. You know, I know a lot of Clemson fans, I know a lot of Carolina fans, and they know exactly when every single game is. They know where it's going to be. They know where their tickets are. They know where their seats are. They know what channel it's going to be on. Because they enjoy those things and they prioritize those things. And then you ask some believers, like, hey, when do you spend time with the Lord? I don't know, man, when I can, you know. Sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's in the evening. And I fully believe if you fail to plan things out, you plan to fail in a lot of areas. And so I'm not saying don't make practical decisions and don't have a plan. I'm saying your plan should be rooted in a desire to get to know God and seeking Him and putting Him first, not in any kind of behavioral kind of, it's not anything else, but that from that desire and that place to get to know Him. And I think that's where we start to build our houses on sand, when we just kind of treat it like everything else. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If you even look up houses right now in North Carolina, there's a place called Cape Hatteras where they built, I think it's Cape Hatteras, I think it is. Somewhere over there near the Outer Banks of North Carolina, there's houses that you can buy a house right now on the beach for $10,000. Because it's about to get swept into the ocean. people are trying to get rid of them, but it's literally getting swept into the ocean right now because the tide's pushing it in and out. So my prayer for us today is that we would just be submitted to the Word, so that when those storms come, when we don't feel like it, when the wind blows and we go through trials and tribulations and big things, little things, but also just when we're fully submitted to the Word of God and we're fully engaged in what He's speaking to us, man, it skyrockets our growth. It skyrockets our desire and our hunger grows. You know, you whatever you feed grows, you know. And so when you feed that hunger, you feed that desire for the Lord, it builds upon itself. Mm-hmm. I remember I was in Bible college. We did it last year at our church, but I decided to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And not just the Lord's Prayer, like "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name" and all that, but I broke down the Lord's Prayer into six different pieces, and I prayed the Lord's Prayer out. So the first thing I would pray is, "Our Father, Lord, thank you that you call me a son. Thank you that I'm accepted and received by you." The second thing was that, "Hallowed be your name. Lord, you're holy, you're worthy, there's no one like you." And I just kept on going down the list. And I remember first, early on, that took me about 5 minutes to do. And then shortly after that, I began to pray, and I would begin to start my little prayer and go through my list of things. Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, whatever you want, and the Lord, Holy Spirit, would just remind me of things that needed to happen in the earth. And I would just begin to intercede and pray for things by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I went from praying the Lord's Prayer for 5 minutes to praying it for an hour. I remember being on my face in my living room, and then be like, "Man, what time is it? Oh, I'm late for school." Like, I was late to chapel because I was spending time in prayer. And but my desire, I didn't get there overnight, but my desire in my heart for the Lord began to grow and expand to the point where I was spending hours in prayer instead of minutes in prayer. And the Lord will do that in our lives. I want to read this, Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. It says, Jesus said this to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." As we begin this year, as we begin to seek Him and put Him first, I truly believe that this is a year of surrender to Him. I truly believe it's a year of fully letting go. You know, you can't. A lot of our New Year's resolutions are about taking control, right? I need to get my weight under control. I need to get my finances under control. I need to get control. But the Lord is asking us, surrender, surrender, surrender. Let go, let go, let go. And I know for some of us it can be a struggle to do that, because if you're like me and people I know, we almost treat control like kind of a self-preservation thing. You know, like I have to be in control. If I'm not in control of it, then I might get hurt. I might get embarrassed. I might embarrass myself. So I sometimes do things out of just a self-preservation mode. You know, I'm going to protect myself. I can't say yes to that. I'm going to get embarrassed. Well, what if that person rejects me? You know, have you ever had this happen where the Lord speaks to you and he says, go encourage that person over there. Now you don't have to come up to him and go, thus saith the Lord. That's crazy. But unless the Lord's in it, whatever. But have you ever had that happen where the Lord's like, hey, go minister to that person. Tell them that I love them. Remind them of what I say about them, you know. And you're like, man, what if they think I'm crazy? What if, you know, what if I'm wrong, Lord, and I'm just doing, you know. And we have this kind of self-preservation thing where when the Lord asks us to minister to someone, we kind of get, oh, I don't know. And I get nervous sometimes, you know. I have a harder time speaking to somebody on the streets than I do in a church, on a platform with a microphone. And that's something that I had to get over and had to deal with. But it was a thing where like, man, what if I'm wrong? What if this person rejects me? So I had to deal with that with the Lord. The Lord's like, I've already accepted you. So what if they reject you? Just be obedient to what I have to say and what I'm speaking to you. But we've got to surrender to the Lord. We've got to get rid of that whole self-preservation thing, because the Lord needs us to be fully submitted to Him. He needs our obedience. He needs our obedience. Well, the Lord doesn't need anything. But the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to move through us. And he only moves through people who are in his hands, as it were, you know? And I'm believing this is a year where we're going to be so submitted to the Lord that his hands are open. And we just say, Lord, whatever you want to do with us, just do it, Lord. I wasn't even a commitment. I just said it. Even the reason me being here is, Lord, I just told the Lord, if you want me to be in ministry, you're going to have to do it, not me. And since then, there's been times where the Lord's wanted me to lead worship, and I didn't have a guitar, and then somebody brought a guitar. And there's one time where, y'all ever heard of Azusa Street in the revival of Azusa Street? I took a missionary team to Los Angeles this past summer, and I was like, let's go visit Azusa Street. It's very important to me. I'm a revivalist. I really believe that the significance of that revival is still echoing throughout our nation now. You know, so many different movements and even denominations were birthed out of that revival. It was a multicultural, multigenerational revival. It's what started the charismatic movement in our nation. It happened in 1912, but I was like, let's go visit Azusa Street. And no plan. I was just, let's go check it out. And there's a small like office and a museum there that's kind of like highlights the history of the revival and everything. And they're like, listen, if you guys want to go pray in the prayer room, we just ask that you not talk. Don't be on your phones. And you're more than welcome to go in and worship if you'd like. And the host is like, we've got a piano there, and we've got a guitar there for you. And I walk in, and I was like, so you're telling me that I can worship the Lord on this same spot where This revival broke out. And she's like, yeah, just don't break anything. That's basically what they said. And even something simple as that, where I wasn't looking for anything, but in that moment, the Lord's like, I want you to do this for me right now. And he made a way, you know? And I believe the Lord will create opportunities for us in this next season. As long as we're surrendered, as long as we're submitted to the Lord, he's just going to create opportunity for us to minister, to for him to minister to us, and so on and so forth. But it's going to come from a place where we're surrendered to him. And that's the word I heard for us this morning, is that you can either try and try and try in your own strength, or you can surrender to his strength. And I believe that's the safest place you can be. That's the strongest place you can be. That's the most blessed place you can be, is being 100% surrendered to him. So this morning, I'd just like for us to all just bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you haven't already, I know it's January 19th, but there's still time to commit this year and commit this season of our lives. We only get one 2025. You only get one. Spend it carrying any baggage or hurt or anything. But I'm just going to ask you, as we just worship for a second, I just like just to freshly surrender to the Lord this year. Make a fresh commitment. Lord, it's like we're just going to wave our white flag. It may be just as simple as saying, Lord, I give up. I don't want to try and accomplish all these New Year's resolutions in my own strength, in my own ability, in my own skill, in my own will and determination, Lord. I don't want to build anything I do, Lord, in saying, Lord. I want to build my house on a firm foundation, Lord. Lord, we surrender to you today.